You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Mfuna Zumango, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for listening to or agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Our question for today, Mfundisi, is it acceptable for church leaders to publicly address political scandals?
What we have come to understand is that the church, before we even go to the leaders,
right,
the church has been given a prophetic mandate.
Right.
That prophetic mandate should be able to address itself to all situations that God's people find themselves living under.
Right.
But my reflection on whether church leadership can publicly address public scandals. I suppose these are public scandals of a political nature.
Right.
My reflection on it would be when God called Jeremiah, he says to Jeremiah, I will cause you to stand before the kings. So we do have a message to the political spheres.
Okay.
And we can address ourselves to social issues, but if we take the Jeremiah model, we need to speak to the political leadership. We can approach them. I find no value in going to a stadium or to a conference center to address the general public about things that should go to the leadership,
right,
the political leadership. That's where we are likely to win them, get their audience, and make a difference. But I think to just stand up and address the masses because there's been a political scandal, that will not cause us to achieve the desired mandate to be the prophetic voice, God's voice, if we may, on earth, because those masses are not going to do anything,
right,
if to make the changes.
Right.
But yes, we do have a duty to address social issues.
My curiosity, Mfundisi, is on our main actor in the story of redemption, who is Jesus. He never addressed,
right,
any political scandals. Why would we ignore his leadership and pursue Jeremiah's leadership?
Now, that's a good one. It's a good point you're making in a form of a question there. I was yet to go to how the one who mandates us demonstrated how we should do it.
Okay.
Now, the Jeremiah one is, I will give you power to go and appear before kings. You'll go to the palaces. And that is to bring the justice consciousness of God's standards of justice. And I would believe we are restricted to address injustices. But scandals may, if we talk about scandals, they may not be of a justice nature. And we might have no business doing that. Jesus did not seek to mobilize the masses against the political dispensation that was in place at that stage. And there were huge political problems. Israel was under oppression by the Roman system.
Right.
The Roman Empire. Yeah, but he never led any insurrection or mobilization to protest.
So,
but he did find himself appearing before king rulers.
Right.
And I believe it's Matthew 28 where he, no, 26, where he appears before the rulers.
Yeah.
And the Bible records how he kept his peace, to use the King James language.
Yeah. I'm curious, Mfundisi, in the time of Jesus, there was his predecessor, John, who appeared to be calling out Herod Antipas when Herod married his brother's wife, Herodias. He called out scandals and he lost his head for it. Why didn't Jesus do the same thing? Why did Jesus not do what Herod was angry about with John? It seemed the one person who had more, well, audacity to call out scandals was John more than Jesus. Was Jesus a coward?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. And I'm glad you brought up the John and Antipas one. Now, one more thing to indicate that Herod Antipas was a Roman deployee.
Yes.
Now, when you read Luke's version about what happened, but Mark as well, they say John kept telling Herod Antipas that what he was doing, first of going out with his brother's wife, eventually marrying her,
yes,
was John kept telling him directly,
yes,
that what you are doing is against the law.
Yeah.
He didn't seek to expose him publicly, but he did appear himself. Actually, they had a good relationship. The Bible says even Herod Antipas himself loved listening to the men of God,
yeah,
on a one-on-one basis,
yeah,
which is the point I was making, that we need to go where it will make the difference when we address ourselves. So even before it became a public scandal,
yeah,
John was privy to what was going on, and he went to him. In keeping with your Matthew 18, by the way,
yeah,
the so-called Matthew 18,
yes,
principle.
Yes, 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 yes. Okay.
Instead of exposing the scandal, he goes in a redemptive way,
yeah,
to reach this political leader and cause him to change himself. But of course, the Herodias herself, you know what happens when you tell people who are in a relationship?
Yes,
it's
yes.
It's bad.
Yes.
Herod told Herodias that, oh, my friend John thinks what we're doing, it's no good.
Yes.
And she went the extra mile of organizing both his arrest and his decapitation.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So you're saying it's not only acceptable for leaders, church leaders, to do that, it is expected of them. That's what the pastor is saying.
It is a duty.
Lovely.
But to go to, if a politician, for instance,
right,
is involved in a scandal of a public nature,
right,
we have a duty to go to them, yeah, knock at their door, and speak to their conscience.
Right.
If we go public in criticizing them, we will also be going against the spirit of Christ. Christ never scandalized or exposed people publicly. Those whose hearts he knew and their actions he knew. He spoke to them, and most of the time he used the most winsome approach for the individuals.
Well, Funis, I was just about to end the conversation just before you said that. Well, Christ is the one who was he's the one that was embarrassing the Jewish leaders. He may not have been as bold as to raise a word against the deployees, the Roman deployees and the Romans themselves, but the Jewish leaders, particularly the sect that was against him, that had him arraigned and taken to prison and then sent to the Roman, he spoke against them and called them a brood of vipers who are white, like whitewashed tombs. He told people, don't do as they do, do as they say. He told those people are fake, they are hypocrites. Surely he embarrassed them and they tore their clothes because he was saying things that was just downright opposing them and scandalized them. If anything, Jesus is the one person who publicly scandalized the Jewish leaders.
I thought you were going to tell me that he pulled out a whip the other day and
I'm okay with the whip. He was beating the ordinary Joe with the whip. I'm okay with the whip. But when Jesus called the Jewish leaders, you brood of vipers, in my language, Nzalandini Amahamba. It's so yo, it's harsh.
But Tukulu Vati Nyoka, that's what exactly, he called
exactly.
In my life.
Exactly. So he scandalized the Buddhists. He didn't follow Matthew 18.
That was Jesus' cousin who called them a brood of vipers. John.
Okay, you're right.
But they it's still a principle, and I think you're correct to raise that. That which was in the public,
yeah.
John confronted it.
Okay.
And it's interesting, as you know, that he was speaking to what, if I may abuse it, and say to church folks,
right?
To the religious folks,
yeah.
Not public leaders. And that is a correct platform to address it. The scandals that happen within the community of faith,
right,
needs to be addressed and be confronted right there within that community,
right.
Individuals who we have a duty to go for them that way. If you look at his approach in Luke 15,
right,
when the Pharisees had a problem with his dealings with bad guys,
right.
It says that the Pharisees had an issue that he ate with the publicans.
Yeah.
And these are public servants.
Right.
And sinners, which he did.
Yeah.
Then when they have a problem that he hangs out with them and even eats with them, he confronted them very gently.
Right.
Without being harsh to them.
Okay.
He says, actually, I came for this. Instead of saying you hard-hearted extremist and fundamentalist.
Right.
He then tells them how he has come to carry out the mission of salvation and redemption.
Right.
To those who are sinners and the publicans. These were corrupt people. Corrupt.
Right.
Leaders of the system, that he was hanging out with. But when you look at the four parables there, and I'm deliberately saying four parables, he's gently addressing them in a way that had a chance of winning them over.
Right.
And where he's addressing their conduct, the Pharisees, he's he situates them on the elder brother.
Right.
So these are deeply religious people, obedient people, but their hearts are not right. They have no compassion.
Right.
And they have no understanding of the spirit of the Father.
Right.
So in a way, he was gently telling them how lost they are, although they are influential people the religious system.
I hear you, Mfundisi. I hear you loud and clear. So I was referring to the Matthew narrative, Mfundisi, when I was talking about Jesus calling them a brood of vipers. In Matthew 12, Jesus is the one calling them a brood of vipers. So I totally appreciate. Yeah, I mean, in Matthew chapter 12. So I totally accept what you're saying, Mfundisi, and quite frankly, I appreciate the guidance and the fact that we ought to do it, and public sins to be corrected publicly, private sins to be corrected privately. It's a very clear and clean principle. Looking forward to our conversation tomorrow, Mfundisi. Thank you ever so much for your time.
God is good. God bless your ministry and your work there.
Oh, Nkosi Mfundisi. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day.
All right, take care.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.